Well, this afternoon we'll be looking at Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20 for our text. So we see that in relation to Article 12 regarding creation of all things, in particular the angels. And as we said, we'll be looking in particular at this, the evil world that is around us, the fallen angels, and the war that we're in as a result of that. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Article 12 of our confession is probably one of the most unique ones that we find within our confessions and within our other forms, our other confessions that we hold to. On the one hand, it teaches creation of all things, but on the other hand, it moves on to talk about the creation of angels. And we've considered that not too long ago when we were looking at Hebrews chapter 1, as it spoke of there, of them being ministering spirits sent forth to those who will inherit salvation. God has made them originally perfect, as we read in our article. However, some of them fell and became evil and did not follow God's ways, and God cast them away from heaven. God's word doesn't give us much detail about how this happened. We do have different passages that speak about this. For example, 2 Peter 2, it says that they sinned against the Lord. Similarly, we read in Jude verse 6, that the angels did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. As we said, the main mission of angels is to praise God and to serve His people. They were originally created to be good. However, because they fell into sin, they do the complete opposite. They use their ability to stand against the Lord and against His church. And that's why God's word ushers a very strong warning to us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're to be aware of him, and we're to take Satan very seriously. It's for that reason that we as a Reformed church reject the view of the Sadducees who denied their existence. They did that during the time of Christ. However, we're not to take Satan too seriously. He's not God. He is a creature who sinned against God, and he can only do what God allows him to do. The devil and his angels wait daily for their eternal judgment. They know it's coming, but we do not underestimate them either. We need Jesus Christ to stand firm against him. We must stand firm in Christ through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you're called this afternoon to hear God's word from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, with this theme, stand strong in the Lord. And we'll look at this passage with 3 points. First of all, be aware of the warfare. Be aware of the warfare. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Literally, it says there, in the future, or henceforth, be made powerful in the Lord. That's literally what it says there in that first verse, verse 10. A little bit different than our English translation. So what the Apostle Paul is doing is he's pointing back to what he said earlier to the Ephesians about being made new creatures through the power of Christ. Since we have been made rich in His mercy and have been brought into fellowship with Him through His blood, we are commanded from now on to be empowered in Him. We can only be made powerful in the Lord. If we were to try to stand by our own power, we would be unable to survive. We need the Lord. We need to stand strong in Him. Why? Because verse 12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're up against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And by all this, he means Satan and his demons, the fallen angels. It's not only describing their ranks and classes and the authority that they have been given. He's referring to the very real evil spiritual world. There are the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And when he uses that word heavenly there, he's thinking of the spirit world. So that's something that's very important for all of us to realize. We're not primarily at war with cults or with false religions. We're not fighting so much against abortion clinics or against gay pride. Our fight is primarily not against our own flesh, human beings. It's not against flesh and blood. But we're fighting against the spiritual world where evil is very real. They are a powerful army that if anyone ignores, is in great danger. And really, that is the problem with our society. You know, we might wonder sometimes, how is it that people can be so naive to believe something like evolution? Or how can anyone become so callous to human life in the womb to abort it? Why is it that people decide to live together and no longer see the need for marriage? Or why gender change? Why cannibalism? Why some of the weird behavior that we've been confronted by with the news lately? And there's only one answer to these questions and to any question that's like it. It's because men and women have been blinded. Their thought processes and their ability to reason has been perverted by evil powers. That's why we say that our battle is not ultimately against our fellow human being. It's against Satan. Because it's only the Holy Spirit who's able to open up the eyes of people that have been blinded by their own sin. Whatever sin or error that might be. That's the battle that we're in. It's to occupy our thoughts. It's to be in our hearts when we pray. And when we think of those in our families, we're soldiers at war, and our warfare is spiritual. And Satan also attacks us. How does he do that today? Well, verse 11 talks about the schemes or the wiles of the devil. And the word that's used there in the original is the word methodia. And you can figure out what exactly that's talking about. It's talking about his methodology, his methods, his cunning arts, his deceit. Just as he schemed against Adam and Eve, he's still just as crafty and subtle. He still seeks to deceive you in your weakness and at your weakest moments. God's word talks often about those who are under his control. It could be demon-possessed, as we read about those in the time of Christ and the apostles, where demons took residence in people. There were those who practiced sorcery and divination. In the Old Testament, we read about how God's people would sometimes fall into the practice of the pagan nations around them and offer up their children, it says, to demons. That's something for us, of course, to avoid. Young people and children, don't think of dabbling in the occult. God's word says that the supernatural exists. That's enough for us to know. And it's dangerous. Yet, we who are filled with the Spirit do not need to be afraid of the attacks of Satan. As we sing in one of our hymns, the Prince of Darkness Grim, We tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. Since Christ has overcome him, there's no room for evil spirits to invade us and possess us. But that does mean that the devil can sometimes get a foothold. He can sometimes get a foothold into our lives. For example, we read in this book, in this particular book, he speaks in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, to be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. And there are other sins that he mentions as well, the sin of lying, the sin of stealing, the sin of nursing a grudge. Satan uses our own desires and his weaknesses and his schemes. Perhaps lying is a problem for us. Though you're a Christian, you get into a bad habit of twisting the truth. Or it's stealing. Children, you steal a few loonies from your mom's wallet. Or adults, you find it easy to take some old equipment from work, from your boss. After all, he's not using it, so why ask? So we so easily can fall into his methods. And so the question this afternoon is, are there any areas of sin in your life that might be being used as a foothold for Satan? What does the Lord want you to do about that? Well, he wants you to repent. He wants you to turn from it. He wants you to ask for forgiveness. And then to steal no longer. To allow no corrupt word to come from your mouth. He calls you to love him and obey him. The devil desires to undermine our faith and our obedience to the Lord. And he seeks to do that by destroying our marriages. He assaults our consistory. He assaults our council. Our office bearers are marked men. He does battle against our congregation as he sows seeds of disunity. As he cannot stand it that we are in Christ. He cannot stand it that we as a church bring God's word to those who need it, who are lost in sin. He is in an all-out attack against us, and we must be aware of his devices. The only way that we can resist him, as the Apostle Paul says here, is by standing in the Lord. Satan is the prince of the world. Today, biblical morals are laughed at, especially by the media. That's because the devil has been busy targeting the world, and he has been doing well. Why do people feel the way that they do about certain things? It's because Satan does not want people believing in Christ and following his truth. He wants a society that accepts adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and divorce. And he wants to wear the church down. He wants the church to compromise and no longer uphold what God's word says. As the Belgic Confession tells us this afternoon, the devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and of every good thing. So he seeks to stop Christ's kingdom from going and to fight against his people. And yet we must resist him and to resist the evil that is in this world. And the only way that we can do that is with the power of Christ. That's why we must consider, secondly, that we're to dress suitably. We're to dress suitably. If you go to play a game of hockey, you need equipment from top to bottom. You need some protection. Well, in verses 13 to 17, we have that suitable protection that we need from the Lord. And of course, the imagery in these verses has to do with a Roman soldier who was in battle. Paul's saying that we are Christian soldiers who are in an aggressive battle for our commander, Jesus Christ. And he says we're to wear the whole armor of God. We need to gird our waist with truth, with the belt of truth. One of the first things that a soldier put on was this leather belt, which had metal plates attached to it, which would be helpful for protection against the attacks of the enemy. A soldier would never enter the heat of battle without his belt. And we need this in our battle as well. We need the truth. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies, and yet the message of salvation in Jesus Christ is the word of truth. It's the gospel. That's what we need. We also need to live as people of truth. We need to live as those who are consistent, whose lives are consistent with the truth, because to live in deceit is consistent with Satan. And so we're to be known as truthful people. It's amazing how lying can destroy someone's good reputation. One false word against another brother can erase a good reputation. And so we need to be people of truth. And we also need the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate for a Roman soldier was a tough leather smock which covered a good part of his torso, the front of him as well as his back. And it often was reinforced with metal. If that breastplate was not securely on him, he knew that he would be unable to continue in the battle. He most likely would have lost. And in the same way, we need righteousness. We need righteousness. This is not our own righteousness, but it's God's righteousness. Because He Himself is clothed with that. And that's why we need it for ourselves. We need to be made righteous by the blood of Christ. It's through faith that we receive this gift, knowing that our sins are washed away and that we're forgiven. It's this breastplate that's needed, which is an important piece of protective covering. As Satan is going to try to convince us that we're not forgiven by God. He's going to whisper that in our ear. And yet God's Word says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's righteousness in us is able to persuade us of His grace in our lives. And so we need that protection to protect our vitals, our vital organs. His righteousness also calls us to righteous living. And so we will be able to withstand the assaults of the devil when we live righteously before the Lord. As well as this, he says that we need to have our feet bound with the gospel of peace. Again, the Roman soldier, he wore sandals that were not only attached to his feet, but to his ankles. And they gave a soldier good footing because a man fighting for his life doesn't want to slip and fall. And in the same way, we need our feet bound with the gospel of peace. There's a hint here to Isaiah 52, where it says, "How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who proclaims what? Who proclaims peace." And so this is part of the good news of salvation, the peace of God in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can ever destroy the peace of a child of God. No matter how fierce the conflict, or how difficult the battle, there's always that peace with God. That peace that passes all understanding. There's nothing that can separate us from this peace. And we also need the shield of faith, with which we're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And again, that's not very hard to figure out if you know battle. During that time period, they often used flaming arrows that would catapult against the enemy. If you were a soldier, you needed your shield. And Satan's attacks are like this. They're like flaming arrows. And yet we can counter these flaming arrows by faith. If there are attacks, they can be overcome by faith in Christ. If there's fear of the future, we can be assured that our Lord is our strength and tower. We can take God at His word and believe His promises by faith. And when we do that, God is going to help us. We need faith in Him. We can face these attacks through the power of Christ. And we also need that helmet of salvation. As a helmet protects the head, and in the same way, that helmet of salvation, it protects our minds. It protects our thoughts. We need to think in terms of our salvation when it comes to attacks. It's a defense of our head against false doctrines. In times of difficulty and affliction and distress, it covers the head in the day of battle. As we need to think on God's promises and remember that we are at peace with Him through Christ. That's what's going to help us. And so how about you today, congregation? Do you have your armor on? Are you ready to do battle for Christ? The Lord help us to advance against His enemy and plunder Satan's kingdom by proclaiming His word to those who are held captive in the kingdom of darkness. And yet you notice here that He's not only thinking in terms of defense. These are all armor that's for defending yourself against the attacks. There's also this aspect of advancing. We're to fight against the dark forces. And that brings us to our third point. We're to advance with our weapons. We need the sword of the Spirit to fend off the attacks of the evil one. And again, this can be very simply illustrated if you think of Jesus Christ in His temptation, His wilderness temptations. Satan came to Him, attacking Him, and He used God's word to fend off the attacks of Satan, quoting Scripture to Satan. Now, that doesn't mean that quoting a Bible passage has a supernatural power that's to make the devil flee away. That's not the point of this. Instead, we're to be familiar with the Word. We're to be well acquainted with Scripture so that we won't easily be led astray by the tempter. We should expect the fulfillment of God's Word. We should be using it for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And when we're familiar with the Word, when we're familiar with the Scriptures, then we can be made strong by Him, as His Word is very powerful. It's the sword of the Spirit. But God has also given us a second weapon for advancing. It's prayer. Prayer is a secret weapon. It has no equal on earth. And it's so necessary for ourselves to keep ourselves watchful and to help us to persevere according to what verse 18 says. As Paul says here, prayer is part of the advancement of the kingdom of God. You know, we think of prayer, we look at it from a human aspect, it looks pretty silly. Prayer looks pretty weak in front of others. You know, if your fellow worker at work sees you praying before you eat lunch, to them, you know, you look pretty dumb. To the world, a church full of praying saints looks foolish as their heads are bowed down and their eyes are closed. And yet prayer, congregation, is a powerful weapon for God. It's through prayer that we are given God's power. And we need to do that. We need to pray for others. We need to pray for ourselves. Because if you don't pray, you won't stand a chance. You won't have hope. But if you pray for strength, the Lord will give you His armor. He will make you strong. How many of us pray during a time of temptation? Or how many of us pray when we're going through times of discouragement? Prayer is the Christian strength. And we need to be praying for others as well. It's so easy to be self-centered in our prayers. We need to pray for our spouses. We need to pray for our children. We need to ask that God would protect our children and ourselves from Satan's blows against their souls. And we need to be praying for each other as a congregation, that we together can stand firm. And congregation, we also need to be praying for the spread of the gospel. Do we pray for our missionaries and their families? Do we pray for the work of the elders and the deacons here? And do we pray for the work of God's work here? Because gospel preachers are not supermen. Left to ourselves, we are so weak. We can't persuade men and women to believe. We need boldness. We need the Spirit's anointing, as we're so helpless apart from prayer. So we need to pray for one another with this secret weapon that God has given to us, advancing the kingdom. And you know, there will be a day when Christ will return. He will be arrayed for battle. Isaiah 11 pictures Him that way. He shall strike the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of His loins, and faithfulness the belt of His waist. And it's then that Satan will be cast into hell forever and tormented day and night. And yet He will call us His saints. We will be able to enter into His kingdom. He will call us His soldiers who were faithful to Him, though we were tempted and though we faced evil days. And so, congregation, count yourself blessed to be a soldier of Christ. And may He receive the praise for strengthening and equipping us for the battle. Amen.